have a friend, Rafa Picard, over here, and he's good. He's a he is annoyingly good, because he makes stuff, and then you know, you look at your stuff and it's no longer that good. And he's here to tell us about viewports. People often underestimate them. I am one of those people, so I can't wait. All right, peeps. Welcome, Rafa.
Thank you for the warm welcome. Viewports, a very underestimated node or class by this time. Let's get started. I'm Rafael Lipica. A lot of people call me Rafa. That's totally fine for me, or Pixter on the internet sometime. I'm a part of Bipinbits, the maker of Domekeeper. Some of you know it probably. I'm also a solo game developer, and I'm in the games industry since 2005. I started as a 2D and 3D artist working on the PlayStation 2. Very exciting times back then. So my background is mostly as an artist. And when I started with Godot a couple of years ago, I entered a game jam with a game called Bottomless, and I continued working on the game like many indie devs do after the game jam. And at one point I came to one thing that I wanted to implement, and I found it really hard to do. It was an alien artifact in the background looking like this. And I couldn't find a way to do it, and I was very annoyed by it. And then I found out about viewports, and that allowed me to combine these background 3D elements with the 2D game. And for me, that was something that really felt like freeing my creative ideas and giving me a lot of opportunities to do things that I have in my head and get them out there. A little bit later, I also started on another game, also from a game jam, called Franz Fury. And in this game, I wanted to implement tire tracks that are left by the cars. And I started doing it with particles, and it kind of worked, but I was very annoyed because the performance was just not there yet. I always had to fade them out again to free up stuff and not block everything with tons of millions of particles. And I was telling that to a friend, and I have to drink a bit of water because I'm excited. So I was telling a friend about my problem, and a guy named Guy, that's his real name, a good friend of mine, told me that I could have unlimited splatters by using a viewport that doesn't clear. And I found that very intriguing and interesting. And I could not only have a few splatters, and not a whole lot of splatters, but unlimited splatters. Yeah, and I implemented that. It wasn't too hard. And that was a lot of fun for me. I could just paint the canvas with all kind of fluids and tire tracks and explosions, and I never had to remove anything. I could do as much as I want, and performance was always the same. And that sounds very tempting, I guess, for a lot of people. So an alternative title for the presentation was Infinite Gore, a love story, a love story about viewports. So, last year I freelanced for a nice little company from Dresden, Germany, called Bipinbits. And there's a nice quote: "Let the beauty of what you love be what you do." And that's what I did. So, if we look at the project, Domekeeper, about the lifetime of the project, you see a couple of spikes, and this is the amount of viewports. And the first spike is where I started to freelance. And the second spike is where I started as a full-time employee of Bipinbits. But it wasn't all me. One viewport was by Robert Jan Zandvoort. One viewport was by John Watson. 9 viewports were by me, and the rest were also me, but red. So let's get serious. Enough fun. What is a viewport? A viewport in Godot 4 is a class/node The node's name is subviewport and the class is called viewport. And in Godot 3, it was kind of combined as viewport. And what it does is it draws stuff. And we all know that node very well because every time you open Godot, what you look at is essentially a viewport because the Godot editor is a window and window inherits from viewport. So you look at a viewport. And not just that, there's more. That thing is a subviewport. So if you look at your scene, it's inside the subviewport. And if you look at the documentation about viewports, it says it encapsulates drawing and interaction with the game world. So that's what the editor does for you. It encapsulates your scene and renders it to look at. So, and if you're already bored by Windows, I can tell you that you can use Windows in very creative ways, as shown here in the game Window Kill by Torcado, which was recently made. It stutters a bit. it's a very creative approach to using Windows. And yeah, that in the background is just a normal desktop. And he uses all kind of Windows to basically introduce an interesting mechanic to the game. And before we continue with viewports, another application for Windows is also for debugging. So in my game Engraving, I can open different debug windows in addition to the main game window to show me additional information about the game, so I don't have to use overlays in the main game, and I can just concentrate on the game, and I can open other windows to show more debug information. So let's talk about my typical use cases, which are very practical examples now. The first and the most boring one would be to lower your game resolution or to control your game resolution. Some of you may are aware that it's a bit hard, but we will get into detail in a couple of slides. One use case is to have multiple environments or cameras. The next are visual effects, of course, my favorite. And even more my favorite is painting. But it's kind of a visual effect. But for me, it's a little bit separate from classic visual effects. So the game resolution. Some of you may know that Godot, in many scenarios, just render in the screen's native resolution. So if you have a 4K screen, it will render in 4K resolution. That's not true for all scenarios. For example, if you use viewport mode in your project settings, then it will, of course, use that resolution. But in some scenarios, it can be tricky. So why should you care about this at all? I mean, I don't care if my game runs in 4K, right? But people play on a 4K screen using a potato. That's the reality. I know a lot of people just having a 4K screen on an old PC or old laptop or a Steam Deck plugged into the TV. Like, that's the reality out there, so you should care about it. The basic setup for that I recommend is that you have a subviewport container, a subviewport inside of that, and in there is your game, and outside of that is a canvas layer or some other setup to handle all of the UI, because you don't need to scale your UI to a small resolution. You can keep it separate. And as an example, I show my game Beat Invaders. There you can control the resolution really down to 320, or you can upscale the game, but the UI will always be rendered in the screen's native resolution. That way you have a sharp UI, a crispy UI, but the game can be very performant. So it's a good way of changing the render resolution to improve performance. A downside is that sometimes input can be a bit more tricky, because of different resolutions, if you use the mouse position, it's just a bit of extra work, so you should be aware of that. And sometimes it's also not necessary in Godot 4, because you just can change the render resolution and or the scaling, but that only works for 3D games. So if you have a 2D game, that can be a bit, taking a lot of performance, then you should eventually care about it. The next thing is multiple environments. So another favorite node of mine is the world environment. I love it. As an artist, I have all the tools in one space where I can just change the mood of a scene, change how it appears, change how it the world looks, and that's all in one node. And that's really cool. But the problem is that you can only have one of those per world. And that's a limitation that can sometimes be a bit annoying. But as we talked about, a viewport encapsulates it. And that means I can have multiple worlds with different environments. So I can have an outside world, and I can have an inside world with two viewports using different world environments. That's how a typical setup for that would look like: a game with the world environment on the outside, a viewport, and a world environment on the inside. And the only thing that you have to know is that you have to check that checkbox, that it uses its own world. Otherwise, it will not work. And as an example from one of our game jam games, Ravenhall, you can see that the inside of the building is a scene living inside a viewport, and the outside is completely separated and encapsulated. So it was a bit tricky to get the setup running correctly, because the character on the inside is not the character on the outside. It's two completely separate things, and it gave me a bit of a headache. But in the end it works, and you can do some really cool stuff, like having a completely different mood on the outside compared to the inside. Make the inside feel nice and cozy, and the outside is cold or rainy, and that's really cool. The next thing is multiple cameras. That's not a lot to tell about, but if you, for example, have a couch co-op game or a game where you want to render two different cameras, then you can put another camera inside a viewport, and that renders a different view for you. Like in engraving, I have this map that shows like a top-down render. And it's just a camera above the player inside a viewport, and like that I can render this little map on the left. And for that, you need to uncheck this little checkbox. Otherwise, it won't work. Let's talk about visual effects. Visual effects can be having a wide range of stuff. And some of those use cases are born out of necessities, because some features are still missing. There are PRs open or proposals about it. But one is that I can't draw to texture right now. And there are also no true multipass textures. So those are two restrictions that sometimes or often can be solved with viewports. In Domekeeper, we use a tile map system for all of the tiles, but we use it mostly to store data, and all the drawing is done with viewports or created textures that we create like bitmaps in the code, and then we render it inside the viewport, and that creates different layers with light, the background, the foreground. And another use case for Domekeeper is a 3D scene rendered inside a viewport, and then with some shader magic, I use the same palette as the rest of the game, and like this we can render 3D elements and put it in the 2D scene. In my game engraving, I have the moon at the night sky, and it shows the player how long you have until the next sleep cycle, so it's kind of an interface element, and I wanted it to look really cool. And I have a proper small moon inside the viewport, a sphere with a normal map, and there's a directional light, so I really have a nice looking moon. And then I render it to a texture and apply it on a quad. And the quad is actually 10 meters away, because the camera has a very short clipping range. And yeah, that's how I made the moon. Another example that is pretty complex from engraving is the journal that you can flip through the pages. And each page is generated on the fly inside the viewport. There's some rich text node, and that creates the journal. And how it works is I have the old pages, like you can see on the top left. Then I add the animated page on the right side, which gets already the old texture. And as it's flipping, it's generating the new textures for the next pages. And as soon as the page is flipped, the new pages are applicated, and then we are at one again. And there's one thing that is important about that. When using viewports, you can get the texture of the viewport, which is updated with the viewport, which is like a live connection, you could say, to the viewport. Or you can just get the image, and the image is static. So while flipping the pages will still stay the same, even if the viewport is updated. For my game Beat Invaders, I rendered those background elements, the background UI elements in viewports, and then applied it to like a cylinder-shaped mesh in the background, and that just makes it look more interesting. So visual effects, it gives a lot of freedom. It can get expensive if you do it like crazy. It can add some extra cost to your project. I would always suggest to just keep an eye on it if you use it and benchmark it regularly. And frame post draw is your new best friend, which is good, but sometimes not so much. So you should learn about the signal frame post draw from the rendering server, because that is basically the signal that tells you that the viewport was refreshed. And then the joy of painting. One of the coolest things you can do with viewports. So if you have a viewport and set the clear mode to next frame or never, it will never clear. That means if you draw something new on top, it will just keep the old information. The default setting is that the viewport clears every frame and is completely redrawn. And if you set it up like this, and you move elements inside your viewport, you can essentially draw like this. So it feels a bit like Microsoft Paint, and you can just draw stuff. You can also erase it, and you can do some really interesting things with it. And that's the same approach that I used in the beginning for the Infinite Gore. I basically just place a sprite, I wait for the refresh of the viewport, and then I free the sprite again. But the image will stay forever until the viewport is cleared. But it will not add an additional cost on top, because the node is already gone. And I did a little editor for my game, Franz Fury, where players could create their own car skins. And yeah, you can just paint in there, choose your colors, and it will appear in the game. And that tweet got a lot of attention, so I think it's something that people will enjoy. And in the recent Game Jam game, Do Not Park Here, I used the same approach for those tire tracks on the ground. I rendered it as a viewport texture and then apply it as a uniform in a shader to render it on the 3D surface. So much for painting. It's a lot of joy. It gives a lot of ideas that you can do for games. It can also get expensive if you just go crazy or if you have a large surface to cover. But then it's important that you don't have to use a one-to-one resolution. If you have a big surface, you can also just decrease the texture size, and oftentimes it will be good enough, so you can do that. But like I just said, you have limited space. You can't make a viewport like infinitely large. If you have an open world and you want tire tracks there, then you have to come up with a solution. You can do like areas that you can then load and unload, stuff like that, but you have to find a solution for that. And saving and loading takes a little bit of extra work, because you have to reapply that image to your viewport. For example, when you load a map, then you have to load that image in again, wait for the refresh, then clear the image, stuff like that. But it's not voodoo. You just have to figure it out. So let's get to the elephant in the room. Performance. Many people think about viewports like this. But it's not necessarily true. I did a little bit of benchmarking for this talk. I added 464, weird number, viewports, nodes, and canvas groups just to test how they work. And I was surprised to see my project not completely die with 400 viewports, but it didn't. It still had like okay performance. So I did a lot of tests, but I don't want to bore you with tables or anything. I will just give you my key learnings, my takeaways. It was faster than I expected. Even with 400 viewports with 1,000 by 1,000 pixel resolution, it was still running at 60 FPS. So it's not true for every project. If you have like a mobile game, you can't do that. But I guess everybody is aware of that. But it's faster than you might expect. Then viewports have a little bit of a base cost, but not that much. If you're like me, then I always believe changing certain settings on a viewport, for example, lowering the shadows or stuff like that will make it faster, but that's not true. So only changing settings that are relevant for the viewport or what you do inside the viewport will really change performance. If you don't use shadows in there, 3D shadows, then you don't need to change the shadow settings. It won't make anything faster. In my test, it was not much slower than Canvas Groups. I had a test where I just had a couple of sprites and I wanted to draw an outline to all of them, so I have one combined image. And 464 Canvas Groups were only 15% faster than 464 viewports, which was really surprising for me. Nodes in a disabled viewport, so if you put a viewport to disabled and it doesn't draw, the nodes inside still process. So that's just one thing that you need to be aware of. If you have scripts running in that viewport, that will still process. But you can disable it by setting the process mode. And if you have a viewport without nodes or with disabled nodes, the cost is really marginal. There's almost no cost attached. And then you can just activate the viewport when you need it. For example, when you need to draw one texture. Another thing is always benchmark. Never think, oh, the viewport is going to be slow. Just try to benchmark, and I use RenderDoc for that. It's really great because you can really see the cost of the individual viewports. And for example, for Domekeeper, we have 15 viewports which are not always active at the same time, but the project still runs on the Steam Deck really fine. So. And learn about the rendering server frame post draw. That's your new best friend, so you should know when to wait for that signal, when to refresh stuff. A little future lookout. There are a couple of PRs or proposals that are really relevant for that talk. It's drawable textures. I think that would solve some of the things where you usually would need a viewport. Then the rendering compositor is really interesting for some scenarios. Then there's also a proposal for true multipass shaders, so that would be interesting. And one PR that you can force draw individual viewports. That's also really useful if you just want to refresh one texture and you don't want to wait for that frame or for the signal. And that's it. Thank you. It kind of was a speed run, but I wanted to get everything in. So, any questions?
We have time for one question.
By the way, if we don't have enough time for questions, you can just hit me up outside or online or wherever.
So, are your tests of 464 viewports are in 2D only, or you included tests in 3D?
I did 2D and 3D. Oh. Yep.
That was quick. Let's do one more.
Painting with viewports doesn't isn't it like frame rate dependent? Like if you have a very low frame rate and you try to draw a line, doesn't it become like spotty?
Yes, but what I do, for example, is I have a line 2D, and that line 2D connects basically the dots, and then it's a line.
Thank you very much for your talk.
Yeah.